I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's been a hot second, and we'll get to that. But if it's your first time joining us, welcome. How did you find us? You must be very enthusiastic about the band we're going to talk about, because we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, the holidays are vastly approaching. How you holding up over there? Has the shit blizzard completely just stormed you in?
You know what? This is the probably warmest winter I can remember in probably 20 years down here in the prairies. I know in Ontario, those pussies down there, they don't get weather at all like we get here. It's usually minus 40 about this time and 6 feet of snow. We're going to have a brown Christmas. It's going to be plus 5 tomorrow Celsius, and I am here for it. I'm not mad at all about a brown Christmas. I like the fact that I'm not taking my life in my own hands. If I want to walk down the street, there's no ice, there's no snow. It's absolutely wonderful. And I start holidays today. I finished my shift today. I'm now off until January 9th. So
you bastard.
I've got my whiskey out and I'm ready to rock and roll here tonight. And we have got a couple of legendary guests. I can't wait. Mark, why don't you do the honors and introduce everybody to the folks right below us here.
I will do that. Joining us to the show, our recurring guests. It's been a very, very hot moment since they have been on the show, but they are always welcome additions. They are always great people to interact with, and you might know them because we here at And the Podcast Will Rock are very enthusiastic about most, not all, but most of the eras of Van Halen. But you know, I especially love a particular era, and that's the Hagar era. That does not mean that I hate the Roth era. I need to be very clear about that, just in case you get any ideas. Don't. And what better guest to join us on the conversation with all the news happening with Sammy Hagar and some familiar faces that are directly correlated with this show, you know, a la Van Halen. Who better to talk about Sammy Hagar stuff than the guys from the Bogus Otis show? That's right, Darren Bristow, Brent Kinnaird. Welcome back to the show, you guys.
Mary Sammy Claus. Mary Sammy Claus to you guys.
Santo Claus. It's got
it. Santo Claus. There you go. always a pleasure to be here. Thank you guys. Love sitting in with you.
Yeah.
I feel always happy to have you. I feel like seeing Sammy dressed up as Santa Claus would not be out of the realm of possibilities. It's probably happened and I just haven't seen it. You guys tell me, has Sammy dressed up as Santa Claus? Because he should.
Well, I think, Brent, it was my gift to you last year, right? I think it was that 12-inch record single of that Santa Claus. Sammy Claus is coming to town. He's dressed up on the backside of it, right?
Yeah, Sammy's going south for Christmas. Absolutely.
Yeah, he is.
So what has happened?
He'll be up for breakfast for sure. Because everybody is on Christmas.
That's right.
That's amazing. I love it. And I am totally going to Google that here in a bit. So always happy to have you guys. Like I said, it's been a hot minute. So it's I assume you guys, what have you been up to, man? Tell the people what's been going on. There's you guys have been busy.
Well, Brent, tell them what we just hit publish on something special.
Yeah, this is very serendipitous timing. About, what, an hour ago, we published the episode where some guy named Sammy Hagar crashed our show in Detroit, and we spent some time with the man himself. So that episode is now officially live on the interwebs. It's Sammy in Detroit Rock City with Darren and I. So that's goes back to October the 23rd, yeah. The launch of Red Rocker Brewing in Detroit. Sammy played at the Fillmore. Killer show, killer set list, great beer too, by the way. We got to spend a few minutes with the man himself. So
unexpectedly,
pretty
right?
Crazy.
He just kind of showed up. Yeah.
As you do, just show up. It's like, I heard you guys are talking about me. Well, let's talk.
That's exactly what he said, actually.
Yes. Yeah. Love it.
We have nightmares about that happening, but with Gary Sharon.
He was mad. He's like, who are these fucking guys? He was, grinding our gears, but then he turned the corner.
That's good.
I love it. Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. He's got to bust your balls a little bit. Yeah. No, I reiterate what Corey just said. We have those nightmares too, except it's with Gary and he is not amused at any of the shit that we've said on here. But always, it's apologies to Gary because I respect you, man.
I don't know if you noticed, but Kevin Brown tweeted something wearing his apologies to Gary t-shirt, which you can get in our merch store. And Gary Sharon liked it. So he saw the tweet, which means he saw the shirt.
Yes. It's gonna happen.
I loved
last minute Christmas gifts.
That's right.
Needed please. Last.
Hey, I tell you, ideas. Yeah, Josh in the chat, he gave apologies to Gary Swag as stocking stuffers. It's the perfect gift. Absolutely. Yes.
If you post guys them, make my come. Day,
yes, you will. I look, man. Look,
he's gonna be mad.
It's my dream just to see an army of people in those shirts because it just would be funny to me. It might not be funny to certain people, like. But hey, it's all for love. Go on over to our TeePublic store and get you some merch. Get you an apologies to Gary shirt. Not for the little scratch of change that Corey and I get in return. No, I don't even care about that. I just care about seeing the army of Gary shirt. I can't even think straight because I'm playing this.
Every time we talk about Gary, I have this loaded up on my new Rodecaster here, so I can play it whenever I want.
Oh, I see. So that's okay. So that's the cue. Like we can't talk about Gary anymore. And every time Mark does, Corey's gonna play.
I'm gonna play the song. Yep.
Fair enough.
It's kind of an inside joke. Some of our listeners are not a fan of Beautiful Girls from the new Extreme record, so I play it just to drive them nuts a little bit. No, and Mark, is not a fan either.
Sorry, it's not. It's again. Apologies to Gary, but that's just not good. But enough about that. We'll move forward. Before we get into the Van Halen news, though, like I'm just gonna go ahead and get into it at the top of the show, if I may, Corey. Mm-hmm. We are this particular episode for the reason why we missed a week is because we had some things come up, and just want to dedicate this episode to our good friend and patron and just all around super dude, Ryan Powell. He's interacted on the show. He always interacts with the show countless times. Huge supporter. He had some recent, tragedies in his life, and he's in a real, real dark place. So just want us out of solidarity. We decided we didn't want to do the show without him or without his support last week and just kind of let things settle. So we dedicate this to Ryan Powell. Ryan, man, our hearts are with you, and just, stay as strong as you can. And we're always here. So we will hopefully bring the rock and the love for you tonight. Hopefully we spend something just absolutely killer that will brighten up your day in an otherwise very, very dark time. So our hearts are with you, Ryan Powell. Just wanted to get that out here at the top of the show. So there we go.
I think in honor of Ryan, we should upvote whatever we spin because he loves every single Van Halen song.
he does every single song. That's he's our one guy that will not downvote a song.
Well, I was just gonna ask, is there a specific song that he loves we should manifest tonight?
He loves them all, man. Like
he really does love them all. I think maybe Up for Breakfast was the one. Yeah, I may be wrong about that. We'll have to go back, but that might have been the one he decided. Nope, can't upvote it. But I could be wrong about that because every single Van Halen 3 song he's upvoted. He's had something positive to say. So that's one of the things we love about Ryan. He's always got something positive to say, even if we're not digging the track. That's a true blue Van Halen fan, if there ever was one, yep. Let me tell you. So
Hashtag Powell Strong, Scott Monroe.
Powell Strong, absolutely.
Let's get that going on yeah, social media.
So, all right, with that said, Corey, what is going on in the news of Van Halen? I know one subject in particular is going to be really cool to talk about, but what do you say we fire it up?
You betcha. And of course, we get all of our news, as everybody should, from the Van Halen news desk, www.vhnd.com, including such stories as the picture that really shook the Van Halen world. It's Wolfgang Van Halen giving Mikey a big hug. Mikey went and caught a show in Vegas, and they got to meet up and took a great picture. Absolutely fantastic stuff. Two of my favorite bass players, Michael Anthony and Wolfgang Van Halen. So you can check out that story on the VHND. There's also a cool little story on Kenny Wayne Shepherd's Van Halen, Valerie Bertinelli family ties. And you kind of read about how there may not have been a marriage if it wasn't for Kenny Wayne Shepherd's dad. So you can check that out on there. Anyway,
that's
here
a
we
cool
got
story, man. I just
read it. Really is. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Sammy and Mikey talking about the four-headed monster in the time of OU812, which, of course, you can get from the remastered box set. If you want more on the remasters, hey, go check out the Bogus Odor Show. They just did a big show on the remastered albums. I know I've been enjoying mine. I got them all on vinyl, and they're absolutely fantastic. Yeah. This one's kind of cool. Michael Anthony Sebastian Bach performed DOA during Eddie Trunk's, it wasn't his birthday. It was his work anniversary, 40th anniversary of being on the air. Yeah. But really cool rendition of DOA. I won't play it because we got Sammy guys on the show. But for any Dave fans out there, it's a really ripping version of DOA. Is Yoshiki a Van Halen fan? I don't know.
Sebastian Bach, man. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's killing it. I don't know who the fuck a Yoshiki is, so I'll just skip that one. When Eddie Van Halen gave the socks off his feet, that's another really good story. Then Wolfgang Van Halen just recently, a couple days ago, earned the best guitar riff of 2023. According to Guitar World magazine, so that was really cool.
I missed this one. Did they name specifically what song or what riff?
Yes, I believe it was for Right. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Wow.
And there's even a YouTube.
Oh, that's got to make Eddie feel good seeing that.
Oh no, right. Ken.
I mean, yeah.
Maybe we can play a little bit here for the folks. Obviously not the best quality, but you get the idea. Wolfie killing it on stage right now. He just finished a tour with Nita Strauss. I think they're going back out again in 2024, so check them out. I hear they're coming to Nashville, actually.
I'd like to see her jump up on the tour this year. That'd be awesome to see her play some Van Halen.
Absolutely. And finally, our good friend Darren Paltrowitz wrote a book, How David Lee Roth Changed the World. It's not coming out till January, but they got special permission at the Van Halen store to release some copies early. So if you really want your copy of Darren's book, go to the Van Halen store. The link's on vhnd.com, and you can order your copy of How David Lee Roth Changed the World.
And we don't destroy our podcast, that's the other Darren, right? That's the David Lee Darren.
That's the David Lee Darren, not the Sammy Darren. Yes.
The David Lee Darren.
That's amazing.
Just making sure.
That's a good distinction to make.
Listen, though, huge props to Darren Paltrowitz. This has been a project he's had underway for quite a long time, and nice to see that thing be published. And I hope everybody buys a copy. He's a good dude.
Absolutely,
great story.
Yeah, we're gonna have him on. Well, I think talk about the Sam and David tour.
Perfect.
Yeah, ooh, that'll be fun. Yeah,
we're gonna try and get him back on here too before we clear all the Dave songs off the wheel. We only got 21 tracks left.
That's true, but I mean that's we've still got plenty of Dave on there, surprisingly. So yeah, it would be really great to get him on for that. I'm intrigued to read this thing specifically just because tell me, Darren, how exactly did David Lee Roth change the world? I want to know. Let me get into these pages and find out. So be on the lookout for that, man. That's really, really great. That's awesome.
And Scott Haskin in the chat, Eddie Trunk, 40 years and still trying to complete his first question. Here's hoping sometime before the 50th, he finally gets that out. But
ooh, shots fired.
That's amazing. I mean, there is a lot of truth to that, right? It's like you want to stop him and say, are you asking a question or making a speech? Like what's happening right now, right?
I kind of feel like that happens anytime I listen to Howard Stern now. It's like, are you going to actually let him answer the questions? Are you going to ask like five questions in the span of 2 seconds? Like, what? Like, shut up, Howard. God. But, you know.
All right. That's all the news that's fit to print on the Van Halen News Desk.
Good stuff, man. Yeah, good. Full of Van Halen goodness of all varieties. So check that out. Thank you to our friends at Van Halen News Desk, as always.
Can I jump in and say, I guess I have to now start a House Sammy Hagar Change the World book.
That's right. There you go.
Yeah, now you do.
Starting to write that now, apparently.
That's right.
How Sammy Really Changed the World.
Right. Darren's over there just like, well, Darren, your move.
Instead of releasing dippy YouTube videos, he went on tour with three of the best musicians on the planet and played Van Halen music.
That's right. Let's actually do a hybrid and we'll title it How Sammy Hagar Changed David Lee Roth's World.
Sammy will like that.
Now those haters are going to come for us hard. It's fine.
Now, you guys must have loved when Sammy said, hey, if Dave wants to come on and jam, he can jam, Alex can jam. And then the media went out and said, did you hear that? Sammy wants to tour with Dave. And Dave's like, yeah, let's do it. Zip, zop, dibbity, bop. And Sammy's like, hold the fucking phone. No.
Samson, no.
If you can remember the lyrics to one song, you can come out and sing it.
I feel like Sammy got a lot of shit for that. And when I saw that comment, I'm like, he just means like one show.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Like, yeah. I think only Dave misunderstood that.
Yeah.
Look, what it did for me was it took me back to, do you remember the first ill-fated reunion when Dave walked out on stage with them at the MTV Awards all the press interviews they were doing after the fact? Eddie he's quoted a million times and saying like, you know, we did a couple of songs and like, there's Dave over there. He's like, you know, pulling a hamstring, getting ready for a tour. There's like, what tour? There's no tour. Here we go again. Right now, Dave is taking over Sammy's tour. Suddenly it's craziness.
Crazy. I don't know. Oh, Scott Monroe has a potential title for the book. Oh, You Change the World.
Oh,
Oh, You Change the World.
All right.
Nice one. There you go. Shots fired all around, and you know, you're just kind of like, yeah, who really changed the world, huh? Which one? And then the book wars can commence between Darren.
Write them and smile. That'll be the title.
Right. There you go. Write them and smile. I love it. So maybe we'll do a separate poll. It's like, which title should Darren
that's
title
right.
the next
other
Sam?
Well, technically, when Darren and I text, I'm other Darren, right?
Other Darren. Well, we're not calling you other Darren this time because you're on the show.
Yeah, you're the Darren tonight, Darren. My friend.
They're all feeling it. And speaking of feeling it, and Sammy Hagar, the last show we discussed, we spun the track Feeling, and not to my surprise at all, because this is just the way of the world. This song did get upvoted more, but not by much in terms of where I thought the song probably should be. We got a 74.7, about a 75% What Dreams Are Made Of versus a 25% The Dream Is Over. Corey, shocked, not shocked?
A little bit. I think we talked about on the show. I was kind of expecting closer to 50-50. I know this song is kind of, I know Brent is a huge, huge fan of this one. I embarrassingly downvoted this one. To me, it didn't quite work. It's not a bad song by any stretch. I just didn't think that, you know, the beginning third and the end third kind of meshed with the solo. It was all just kind of disjointed. And
a good episode, man. And Mark, I'm with you, man. Like that whole middle section, I'm like, damn, I
that is
how much
it's
that
fire.
Rocks. They just in the pocket all the way through there, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was absolute fire. That's
what's honestly saved it, because I think I was leaning more towards Corey's feeling on the song as well. But then, I don't know, something about just the sudden shift just really made my eyes pop and in my ears as well. So yeah,
it contain the greatest Sammy scream at the end of that solo.
There's been some good ones. The greatest, you're gonna die on that hill.
Oh, man, that one gives me goosebumps when I hear that one. Right,
it's a good one. Greatest
placement. Maybe it's the placement.
The placement.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah. As far as greatest go, I would have to like really go back and and listen to, like, all right, what all songs does Sammy like really scream?
I think we all know it's Down the Drain, Chickenfoot, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, clearly.
So. I always go back to Live Right Here, Right Now when he does Won't Get Fooled Again. That's pretty damn good.
Yeah, that's also true. But yeah. While we're on the subject there, you know what? I'll shift it over to Brent over there. Brent, what's your thoughts on Feeling and how would you vote?
Well, I mean, the opposite of where you guys voted.
Well, Mark voted for.
Oh, I voted up.
Yeah.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, I would have voted like with both hands up for sure. I just think for me, vocally, incredibly powerful, the scream at the end for sure. I think it's actually one of Eddie's best guitar solos in that tune. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that I love is I'm kind of a closet prog rock fan. I love Yes.
Okay.
I love a band called Saga that's here from Ontario, right? Canada. They've been around forever. And to me, Feeling is like the closest that Van Halen ever got to like a prog rock tune. I love all the changes and all the, it's like a roller coaster ride. To me, killer tune.
But yep. Not better than Amsterdam, right? That's still your all-time favorite, right?
Yeah, I would say it's probably pretty close to a dead heat between Amsterdam, Feeling, and Judgment Day.
Hmm. Yeah.
Ooh. Love Judgment Day. Yep.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. So, and Darren, you agree with that assessment?
I agree with both, actually. I agree that it is kind of disjointed because the beginning's kind of slow, feels like it's going in a different song, and you'd never expect that the solo, when it does kick in, to be as crazy fast and, you know, borderline prog rock. But I love that song. Yeah. I love it.
It is it's a head scratcher, but then it's a headbanger as well. It's kind of an enigma. So, I guess when we really put it into perspective, 75% is pretty decent, all things considered, because you knew we were going to have a high ratio of people downvote it for the only reason, because it's a Sammy track and because these people are out here and that's what they're doing. But 75%, it's fine. It needs to be higher, I think, just a little bit, but not by much.
I'll tell you what.
That's just my thoughts.
On our all-time rankings of the songs we've done, it currently ranks 75th. It's right below AFU Naturally Wired and right above Big River from A Different Kind of Truth.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then.
Yeah, actually tied with Big Fat Money, Happy Trail, Strung Out, AFU, and Feeling. So not enough. Actually, yeah, not Strung Out. It'd be just not enough.
It should be higher than that, right? You're right. Although I love AFU.
Yeah, I mean, it's I would consider Feeling to be pretty solidly a deep cut for sure. It's not, no, I don't think it was ever a single. There's other tunes on Balance that, you know, were commercially successful, but man, I just think it's a rocker from start to finish. I love it.
Yeah. Well, there's only two from Balance or the Balance era that currently are higher, and that's Crossing Over at 77.8% and Seven Sealed 81. The only track so far over 80% off Balance from our listeners.
Shocked. Absolutely.
I'm a little shocked too.
Yeah. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Huh. The lowest ranked song right now from that album from our listeners is Can't Stop Loving You, which I kind of unabashedly love.
Yeah, I love that song, and that upsets me so greatly that it's so, like,
I'm going to have to go contrary on that one.
Fair enough. Well, let's hear what our patrons are saying. Let's over on Twitter at the poll. I'm not calling it X because it's stupid. So,
and don't forget, we have manifestos in the Discord, too. Yeah, I almost forgot Discord, to.
And we have that. And if you join our Patreon, you guys, you can get your tweet or whatever guaranteed read on the show and join our Discord. And we'll even read from that. The Discord is full of conversations just constantly. So you definitely want to be a part of that because everybody's always got something really cool to share and to say. And speaking of something to say, we'll go over to our friends at Sean Geek and Fast Ret Podcast. They say, this is a win for me, but barely. There was enough things in here that I loved, especially that guitar solo. Even though it didn't fit the song, it won the song for me. So there you go. Yeah, right away, that's our friend Sean McGinnity. He, he says it's barely a win, but it's still a win. And, you know, hey, you know what? A win's a win. Am I right? But he also said, everything Mark said about the song really hit the mark with me, so to speak. However, everything that Corey said really hit the mark with me. So since Kamire's name is Mark, then that means he wins this one. So
I guess. Sure.
Yeah, that's so. So he upvoted barely, but it was only because my assessment swayed him. So you know what?
It was a persuasive argument. I tell you, and I was on the fence like the whole way. I think my problem was I just came off doing a Genesis podcast, Phil Collins era Genesis, and the proggy stuff didn't land with me as much as the poppy stuff. So maybe I was just a little bitter over that.
And I think you even maybe mentioned that either off air or on. I'm not sure, but that was made known. So I get it. All right. Well, moving on, our friend Rava Flav says, I don't want the fact that I missed the opportunity to comment on last week's Black and Blue cloud my decision to downvote this week's song, but I will. Hashtag not a fan. Way to go, Rava Flav.
We've hated Brent so much he left. Oh, wait, maybe he's coming back. He's like, fuck this show.
Do not offend balance with Brent.
No, I will not hear slander.
Sorry, audio issues. Sorry.
Oh,
no worries. I have my finger on the censor button. So if anyone else says anything bad about, so we could do that. So don't worry, Brent.
All right, moving on. Scott Monroe says, I posted my manifesto on Discord because that's where the party is. So I will read right here in just a second. Moving on here. I think actually that is all the Patreon tweets. So. We did have I will mention a shout out to our friends from Dissect That Film. Says one of the best songs from the Hagar era. What a way to end an album. Well, there you go. And moving over to our Discord, the aforementioned Scott Monroe. He said, there is indeed balance going on here with feeling. The choir-like backing vocals juxtapose nicely with the monk chanting in the opener, Seventh Seal, a yin and yang. Let's talk about Sam's lyrics. They're actually good. I love how he prefaces it. Like, they're actually good. So, I mean, it's always a point of contention on this show, but, you know, it's fine. He says some of his most complex, I'd argue. Let's set aside the idea it's just Sam spouting off random shit, but instead see them as the internal monologue of a wounded person experiencing a whirlwind of emotions and questions. He's struggling to make sense of his feelings, of his identity, and his place in the world, which are being impacted from a variety of factors, from global news to relationships and personal struggles. Haven't we all been there? I give Sam a lot of credit for attempting to capture the rawness of these feelings. That's where the roller coaster musical sections come in. We start off slow and reflective with Eddie Van Halen's chords and the verses before launching into a high-energy chorus and the berserker mode solo and jam. Correct. These discordant arrangements are by design. The sonic journey reflects back on the mixed emotional tone of the lyrics. Shifts in tempo mirror the shifts in emotional disposition, from a melancholy feel to the raging white-hot intensity of the solo. Mike's high harmony on the feeling chorus and I take it are cherries on top. Whatever the motivations were for the feelings that went into this song, it's an overall success for me. An enjoyable listen that takes you on a melodic journey and has a relatable and dark theme. That's how you close out this album. Hashtag what dreams are made of. Always with the mini manifestos, man, with Scott Monroe. And he always has something just really, really intelligent to say in his analysis. Even if he doesn't like a song, which is rare, I think. But when he doesn't like it, he explains why. And that's what we appreciate about you, dude. All right. And let's see here, moving on to Tom Armbruster. He says,
oh, what about Jeff?
Jeff.
What? Yeah, Jeff Brewer. Excuse
me, Jeff, I'm so sorry, Jeff. I got you. Here we go. Jeff says,
ditto.
That he's basically reiterating what Scott says, but he goes, ditto. Wow, that was a brilliant, persuasive essay on the merits of that song. Sam should hire you as a spokesperson, Scott. That's way better than how he would explain it, and you probably put more time and effort into that than he did on those lyrics.
Ooh.
The song itself is okay, and I'm not downvoting it, but I prefer Van Halen songs that are generally more fun and less morose. We'll count that. Yeah, I looked at it as more of a Jeff just sort of reacting to another manifesto, but we'll count it. Jeff, not a fan of it, but he couldn't downvote it because, you know, it was just okay. It wasn't terrible, so that's fine. That's fair. Tom Armbruster says, I was kind of disappointed in the, quote, this song was actually about the band turmoil, end quote, theme that you guys persisted with during the show. Hindsight is 2020, and it would have been nice to get a take without all the perceived baggage. It was known that Eddie wanted the band to go deeper and not just be a party rock band, So this may have been a shot at that. Mixed feelings on this one for me, if you'll pardon the pun. So I'm actually abstaining from the vote. All that just for Tom to tell us I'm not voting because he did not like our assessments. And that's fair.
Even though I did find a quote after from Sammy saying, feeling was just about the way I was feeling then, not sure which direction had taken life or in the band. We weren't getting along, and I wasn't sure what I actually wanted, so I just went with my gut feeling. So our persistent theme is actually what he was writing about.
Dude, right on the money.
The episode, I heard you guys say that. Yeah. I remember that quote from him. I thought you were right. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And we even said, you know, hindsight's 2020, but this is, sounds like what he's talking about, and that's exactly what he was talking about. So
it kind of goes back to how we talked about that Sammy sometimes in his lyrics are very on the nose, whereas Dave is very metaphorical and a little bit more poetic in, you know, the things that he's talking about sometimes. And you know, Sammy being on the nose may give people the perception that he's not a good lyricist. I don't agree with that assessment, but I will say on the nose lyrics, probably. Yeah.
They're so good lyrics though. And yeah, they're good.
Yeah,
they're...
they are. But like, but these lyrics, like, yeah, they were pretty direct, I thought. And mm-hmm. It was apparent. And we already knew around this time frame and this era what was going on with the band. You know, it's been documented. So, you know, you put two and two together.
And it's not just the band, right? Like, he was going through a lot in his personal life around this era, too. So.
Yeah, so yeah, it is what it is,
right?
Yep. Yeah.
Nah. So there you go. All right. Well, that does it for all the tweets, manifestos, and the like. And whether or not feeling should be higher or not. Well, I mean, it is what it is. But it's on record now as far as this show is concerned. But I, you know, if we ever go back and revisit, I think people should give it another analysis. My vote might change, but yours might as well.
No, you know what? Mine might too. I remember listening to Balance originally and not being a big fan of it. I liked it more listening to it 2 weeks ago. So it might be a grower, not a shower for me. A couple of weeks from now, I might be like, yeah, that's actually a really damn good tune. So
sometimes
that's what happened to me. Yeah. Brent and I go back and forth on that. And Balance really kind of, especially on vinyl, the collection too.
Yes.
Balance really kind of, even though it sounded great before, there's things I found that a little bit crisper, a little bit clearer that really kind of spoke to me in a different way.
That's one of been the one pleasant surprises of doing this show. I didn't give Balance a ton of listens before, but going through this little journey through the catalog, I'm like, Balance is really fucking solid. Like it's a good record top to bottom.
It's Van Halen. Come on.
Can't go wrong.
It is. There it is. So they're not without their flaws as a band, but there's no single band that is flawless. So, you know, you take the good with the bad. Let's not say bad, just like the not so good. I'll leave it there. There you are. But moving forward, it's time to do our, almost our favorite thing. The favorite thing is just spinning the damn wheel and talking about the song. But before we do that, we got to do the other thing. Grab your drinks and say it with me, everyone. Manifestations. That's right. It's time to manifest a track that we want to discuss for the evening. And so, with the Bogus Otis boys on the show, I have to imagine, now I'd never want to assume, but I have to imagine that I think I know at least somewhat of how they're going to vote, but they might surprise me. So Darren, you're on the show. Welcome back. So what do you want to manifest for the show tonight?
I would love to hear Good Enough.
Goonies are good enough. I think that's Cyndi Lauper, but I'm sure Van Halen's got a version of it in there somewhere. Who knows? I jest, but good enough. He wants to hear Good Enough. So, Brent, how about yourself?
I want Just Like Paradise, the remix. Wrong show.
Worlds. Jump the dance. All right. Remix, right?
I wouldn't mind hearing the remix sounded pretty good. I thought I checked it out.
I'm kidding. We love you, Dave. Well, I mean, let's be honest. I wanted to manifest feeling, but you guys had to go and take that off the board.
Yeah, sorry.
Thanks for that.
Look, the wheel decided it was time. So,
damn you, wheel.
The wheel's a fickle mistress.
What's left from Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge? What is left?
A lot.
You know, let's bring up the wheel. We have, I believe, three.
Let's bring that up. Give him a little visual cue there.
Yeah, I believe.
Oh, is it only three? I thought we had more than that.
Let's see. We've got Spanked, Pleasure Dome, The Dream Is Over, and Top of the World. So there's four left off of Four Unlawful.
I'm going to go with number four, Top of the World.
We already did Top of the World.
What?
Oh, my goodness. Did I not take Top of the World off?
Oh, no. Ah, you were trying to pull a fast one. I see.
Okay, that's
Brent,
it.
We did Top of the World.
If you like Frog Man, Pleasure Dome.
I'm telling you, I want Just Like Paradise, the remix. That's it. let me see. Yeah, I mean, let's see. If Feeling isn't there, let's go with, Pleasure Dome it is. Let's do it. Pleasure Dome.
He's going for it. He's going for the Pleasure Dome.
But dude, Amsterdam's there. Are you sure?
No, that's okay. No, I want the four unlawful.
We can't spin Amsterdam today. That would be so disappointing. Not for you guys, but just the fact that we would have an extra guest and that guest can't be here tonight.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that to you.
Oh, that would break my heart just because it's just been a long running joke at this point, and you know, I'm all about the bit. So there you go. Pleasure Dome, he says, and that would make Corey Morissette so happy.
Yes.
Versus Good Enough in 5150. So going over to our Discord with the manifestations, they just came in quick. Scott Monroe says he wants When It's Love.
All right.
And you know, I have thoughts on that. So
Jeff Brewer wants The Dream Is Over in the chat. He's open for that one.
Oh,
so
yes, of course.
Scott Haskin wants Pleasure Dome.
Oh, of course he does. He just wants to see you squirm. Davey Lee Smith wants The Trouble with Never.
And, oh, he's picking a Dave tune. Look at him.
Yeah. But of course, old Josh wants to do Josephina because he just wants us to rip the Band-Aid right off and just like get it over with. But here's the thing, you guys, as much as I want to get that album over with, and I've talked about it a lot, you know what happens when we finish an album here on this show? We do a live show where we have to, you know, talk about it. And I don't know how much more I have left in me to talk about Van Halen 3. I just don't know. You know, because if we spin Josephina, we have to talk about it there. And then we have to talk about the entire album after that. And that just, that could be a very fun show or it could be a shit show. I don't know, but time will tell.
I like Josephina. Josephina's a good tune. It's a good tune.
Well, there you go. There you go. There's
Summer Nights is still on there.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Look at this list. Come on, what a crazy list. Proof that Van Halen's the greatest. Look at this list, right? Come on.
It really is funny.
Humans Being is still there.
Humans Being. That's actually what
we haven't spun. Humans Being.
Yeah, Mark hasn't come to me yet, but that's what I was going to manifest for tonight was Humans Being. So,
well, there you go. I mean, you were right up next on the list. So there you go. Humans Being. And guess what?
Corey, I thought we were both on Good Enough. What's going on? I thought we were.
You know what? I've been bad luck lately, so I'm not going to pick Good Enough because I really hope we spin it. So,
right.
I guess to that end, I should pick like fucking Spanked or something, right? Something I know I'm not going to like too much.
You probably should. Well, you know what'll happen. You'll pick it. You'll manifest it, and you know, your shot would be called because you're the best at it. And there you go. So be careful what you wish for. That's all I gotta say. I think I would like to listen and talk about Aftershock. I think
yes. All right.
I was like, that please would be pick real, Aftershock. Real please pick.
Yeah, that would be fun. That one's a track that's been manifested a lot and it's just eluded us all this time, but I would like for it to happen tonight. I think that would be super fun to talk about with you boys on the panel with us. So we got our manifestations in, everybody got them in, we're locked in. Corey, let's see, we've got four people on the panel. How many are lurking in the chat?
There's five right now, so should we do nine?
Nine
shuffles.
Nine
one times. Two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. All right, I have my new remastered version of this song for the wheel spin. All so right. To quote Chris L from Pot of Thunder, hit it. Now why is it picking it up from there? See? Already a fuck up. Let's try that again.
Hit it.
We'll go with it. Oh, are we really going to do a Dave tune tonight?
Oh, no. We were so close.
Spanked was right
so
there.
Close to Spanked.
Spanked was right there.
Can I fall off the call now and come back for good?
I don't know. I don't know. We got the Sammy guys. Do we do a Dave track?
Here's the thing. We you and I, we used up our caveats. However, extreme measures must be taken. We only have so many songs left. We finally got the Bogus Otis Boys back on the show. I'm using my overlord powers, and ooh, I am pulling another mulligan, and I'm saying we're spinning that shit again.
All right.
You can all come after me. Don't go after Corey or these boys. Come after me.
So what happens if we get Dance the Night Away?
Oh, then we fucking talk about Dance the Night Away.
All right. So
put it out there.
Mark is using his newly formed overlord powers for a respin. Do we want to reshuffle or we just want to spin it from here?
Look, man, you're not the Galactus of podcasting just yet, so I still have some little bit of cosmic power with our show. Just a little bit, but I'm sorry. What did you say? I lost my train of
thought. Do we want to shuffle again? Do we want to spin it from here?
Oh. Dealer's choice. Yeah. Give it another shuffle.
All right. We'll just spin it a few more times here.
Come on.
All right. I'm going to try this again. Hit it.
Here we go.
Come on, Sammy. Come on. Oh, it's going to be a Sammy. Here we go. It's spanked.
There we go, Corey. Oh,
spanked. Here we go.
And it was also so close to Dance the Night.
I know.
And Almost Summer Nights.
Like, oh, my God.
Almost Summer Nights. I was hoping for Summer Nights pretty bad.
I know you were, but unfortunately for Corey, or maybe fortunately, who knows, the...
I'm not going to tip my hand.
Long-awaited track Spanked from the Fuck album. It's time. The time has come. Oh. Here we are.
Jeff says you're really good at mulligan Jamie's crying. Only because we got Sammy guys on the show. No offense to Jamie crying.
Yeah, no, we obviously love it. I've manifested that probably, like, I think, a couple of times. So no. But look, we got the Sammy guys on the show. It has to happen.
And Scott said, Scott Everett, that's the wheel taking revenge. Because you took a mulligan. We got spanked. There you go.
Hey, you know what? But we accomplished our goal in spinning a Sammy track.
That's true. Yeah. So
that's all I care about. That's all I care about. So before we get into the song, without tipping your hand, Corey, we know that I'm going to skip you because
I'm not tipping nothing.
If that gives you an indication of where this is going to go. Darren, anything, any like sort of intro feeling sort of words about this song without tipping your hand on how you're going to vote? Any fond memories or any association you have with Spanked?
Well, when I first got the tape in June 1991, on my sound system, I had all the bass cranked to really crank up the bass. Yeah, it must have been set to the OU and 2 settings. But I remember this song jumping out, just how big the bass is, because Eddie doubles everything with a, I guess, a Dan Electro bass. So I remember that part without tipping my hand. Right?
Uh-huh. Bass heavy. So
sounded so big with the drums, right?
Ooh, yeah. No kidding. And I mean, this just with the way that this album sounds in general, yeah, I can imagine the explosiveness of it.
But and I'll say this, the collection too changed my opinion on that. So without tipping my hand, there you go.
Oh, okay. Well, Brent, what about you? Any little fun caveats without tipping your hand on this one?
Yeah, I would. Darren nailed it on the bass for sure. That's the first thing that I think of. The second thing is there's some interesting, I'll call them meandering guitar parts. And what I remember about this song the most is watching it on the Live Right Here, Right Now video, not the double CD, but the video. Pretty interesting live presentation of this tune.
It was really tough to play live, right? Because wasn't Eddie on a double neck during this?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, because he had the Dan Electro, I think, on the other neck, right?
By the way, Jeff Brewer is busting your balls in the chat, saying so much for standards and integrity. It's our fucking show. We'll make up the rules as we go, apparently.
Look, I got all the integrity. Okay? I don't need that. No, it's fine. I did say, yeah, y'all can come for me all you want. So sorry, the integrity of the show at 19 songs left is it's ruined. I've ruined it.
Scott Monroe asked, can we play the first part of the Live Right Here, Right Now version after? And I think we should, yeah, because the intro does sound better on that. So, yeah. We'll give that a play as well.
The only thing I'll say is that in my early days, this was one I probably did skip over from time to time just because I wanted to listen to other tracks like you know, right now, and Pound Cake, Top of the World, you know, etc., just above this one. So I remember Spanked, obviously, but I don't have like great recollections about specifics. So not going into this blind completely, but it's been a long time since I've jammed Spanked. So I'm curious to now, using my analytical brain, how I'm going to feel about it. And I am just so tickled and excited to see Corey have a possible meltdown. So
we don't know. I tell you what,
we don't know. You might.
What I am loving is that Chaz is not here in the chat, because he's been manifesting Spanked for 2 months now.
Oh, you said his name.
He's gonna. I didn't say it three times though.
That's true, you didn't. And the only way to get rid of him after that is to make him say his name backwards and back to the fourth dimension he goes. But then again, that's where Mariano dwells, so maybe not. Well, I'm ready when you're ready, man. Play that thing.
Oh, Tom just showed up, and now he's mad at you, too. Jesus, can we have a civilization, for crying out loud? Man, you really just...
Yeah, I destroyed it.
You broke the internet.
I'm freaking Oppenheimer. I am becoming death. I've just exploded the podcast.
There you go, yep. You can't please anyone. Well, let's find out if this song pleases the panel. And we're going to play the 2023 remaster, because I have it loaded up here. So let's check out a little Spanked. From Four Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. So everything up to then, I think, is really good. Like, so far, so good, right? The bass is sounding killer. Like, you got that nice fuzz going on in the back. Like, oh, it was really good stuff.
Alex, the cymbal work is great, too.
Always, always.
It's just a great, it's just a good buildup. You know, you know you're in for something special with a buildup like that.
Yep. All right.
Dirty guitars, and that's, I mean, this whole album is filled with dirty guitars.
Yep. All right, unfortunately, let's keep going. This is good. All right, Mark Kamar, you're younger than some of us on the panel. Do you know what a 1-900 number is and sex lines way back in the day?
I'm an elder millennial. Yes, I know what a 1-900 number is. The younger kid, you can explain it to the younger audience, because I'm not gonna. But let's just say that you know, what Sammy's talking about in this song is you know, he's having a what's an equivalent? He's having a self-time Netflix and chill. What say
that. There you go.
The younger audience knows that. Yeah, by himself, mind you. So use your imagination.
I get it.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Say, I'm not a fan of that riff. Like, that's always been one of the most objectionable things of the song. That damn it, damn it. Like,
funkiness?
Maybe I'm not a funky guy. I'm a middle-aged, fat, white guy. I mean, I'm just not funky enough. I don't roll with Kool and the Gang and such. Out of all the Van Halen riffs in the world, is probably my least favorite. And that's what really...
Can I tag on that for a sec?
Sure.
Because I feel like the collection too, as much as it does a lot of great things, some things it does kind of diminish. And I feel like for this particular song, without tipping my hand, there's kind of like a raking chord stuff that Eddie's doing that's prevalent in the previous mixes. That's really, it's almost gone. So you can't, when you're talking about not hearing a riff, the guitar is almost buried, right? You
can hear it, is, a little bit
at the back, but that kind of that raking stuff he does is almost gone, right?
Yeah.
It's become dirtier. It's dirty. It's
a slutty song, right? Yeah, the guitar is, everything's kind of slutty and slanky, right?
No, it certainly fits the mood of the song. It's just not pleasing to the ear so much.
Yeah, it's a bit muddy, right? I mean, I like the deep heaviness of the bass, but it does come across in parts of the song being a bit muddy.
Yep.
I would agree.
All right.
Definitely muddy.
Okay, let's keep her going. Tell me who you're gonna call. You need that affection. Got to have it quick. Well, just aim your love line in her direction. Why are you bad, boy? Call her up on the speak line. I don't even know if I like the harmony on that
line.
So I don't want to have to turn in my Red Rocker card. I'm not going to turn in my Red Rocker card. However, this is one of those moments when people pan Sammy for less than good lyrics. That this song is less than good lyrics for sure. And I think by his own admission, he even said like he was kind of just sort of goofing around and making stuff up, and it clearly is not a serious song either. What I am kind of pissed off by about that is his harmonies and his voice sounds incredible, but he's singing stupidness. That's what I don't like.
That's kind of that's sort of the beauty of a lot of Van Halen tunes, you know, of all eras, really. Again, I always go back to Jump just because it's their biggest song ever. But those lyrics are nonsense. But does Dave sound good singing them? Sure.
Yeah.
Song, you know? And sometimes you can get it very rarely these days, but I mean, back then you could get away with that. No problem. And, you're right. They're not, he's no Bill Shakespeare over here, like writing, you know, soliloquies and sonnets, but he's just he's painting you a very direct a portrait here. He's telling the story all right, and he's not bothering with metaphors or anything like that. Not too hard anyway, pun not intended.
Here's another little prop to Roth. Let's use another 1984 song. Spanked in Some Ways is kind of like the Hagar era version of Hot for Teacher. The difference being Hot for Teacher is cool, and this song's not so cool.
Less cool.
Yeah.
I won't fight you there. Hot for Teacher is cool.
But you hit a good point, Brent. Like Brent and I always talk about like connective tissues and songs that are kind of threaded together along the way. Like this is almost like, this song is almost Fern Lawful's version of Source of Infection, just kind of like silly vocal-ish stuff, right? Mm.
It's kind of cool. Someone in the chat, Jeff Brewer, just called out Source of Infection, said lyrics are better than Source of Infection. Source of Infection, a little.
There you go.
Yeah. He also said,
ancestors.
Yeah, said Ed referred to the sound as very wet.
Yeah, muddy. Mud's wet.
There you go. Mud's wet.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you on the lyrics. Yeah, they're at least he's not mixing metaphors and talking about breakfast treats and
exactly, like it could
cherries on bananas, and like how do you get the cherries on top of the bananas? I still don't know. No one's been able to explain it. It's like, how do you get the beans above the Frank? Yeah, so it's fucking, at least he's just coming right out and say it. Well, call him up on the spank line.
If we are lucky enough to have Sammy crash the cast again, we will ask him that question.
Please do. Yes.
Over there. Okay.
please, please do. And then he'll say, who the fuck asked that idiot
for
question?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what the hell?
This is from Podcast for a Walk. This is not yeah. from us. This is yeah. asking for asking right. for a friend.
Yeah. Like, right. I wanted to call us out directly. It was like, oh, it was from
asking
these guys.
Yeah. For a friend.
Oh, Mark, Tom doesn't think Jump's lyrics are dumb.
Well, I applaud you, Tom.
I don't necessarily think they're dumb either. I think they're kind of good, but.
Okay.
Is that usually they're you know jumping all over me, especially on this song, which is a that's song true, that yeah. I've made fun of for 111 shows now. So
it's true. Yeah, yeah. This is you were just kind of chomping at the bits to.
Get... I'm giving it a fresh listen. I'm completely open minded. We're gonna see how I vote when I vote. So all
right, let's go forward.
Let's get back to it.
Oh.
I tell you what, you can tell Sammy's been on these calls a little bit longer than you want to, because yeah, it's like 99 cents for the first or $3 for the first minute, and then they up the price on you. So he mentioned earlier in the song, you got to get off quick, or otherwise it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And try explaining that phone bill to your parents.
I don't even for like you know early 90s standards, or you know late 80s, we'll say, you know, $3 a minute seems steep. That's real steep. So yeah, like there was a time, kids, where you know you didn't get your jollies from you know your text pics and things like that. There were no social media. You had to call up this hotline. $3 a minute, that's unfortunate.
That's steep.
You go over, it's going to cost you $4. Like, ah, that's but, real steep.
Now, I don't have a lot of experience with these phone numbers like some guys in the chat and on the call might. She'd be up for negotiations if you call back for more. Is that true? I don't think she could actually set the price. You just got billed.
Couldn't tell you as much okay. as, you know, like I'd love to joke about it. It's like, oh,
where's Chaz? You know, Chaz would know.
I honestly don't know.
Chaz has been on the Chaz called those spank lines, I bet, a lot. Back in the day, so early 90s, he was all over that shit. So it's too bad he's not in the chat.
He's like Rumpelstiltskin, man. You're just like wishing him into.
I've said his name twice now. One more.
I know. One more, and it's, you know.
Oh, I tell you.
Beetlejuice.
He's so mad in the chat at Mark Kammerer. I'm loving it. The blasphemy against the Jump lyrics has to stop. I agree. Come on, man.
It will never stop. It will never stop. You know why? Because we're always talking about Up for Breakfast lyrics. We're always talking about everyone saying like Sammy's lyrics. So I was like, hey, okay, well, you know, let me go into some of Dave's.
Oh, you want a different song? How about Sucker in a Three Piece? Remember, straight up, straight on up to her lunch pail. She got a big old belly. Yes. Jeff Brewer right. pointed that out in the chat. So yeah, it's not just those songs. There's a theme.
Look, I've conceded that you know Sammy's lyrics, you know, don't meet the gold standard most of the time. I've conceded that, but I've also said, well, where he may lack in metaphorical skills in the lyrics, he more than makes up for with his actual musicality and his
100%. And Scott, I think he puts it really well in the chat. This is the basement of Sammy lyrics, along with Up for Breakfast and Source of Infection. When he puts in the work, he's great. When he does this stuff, it's a waste.
I mean, it's true. Yeah. And by his own admission, as you mentioned earlier from a quote, he, you know, he was just kind of dicking around. So this is what happens when Sammy dicks around. You know, he comes up with, you know, absurd
yeah.
songs about whacking it.
I'll save the profound stuff. Yeah. I'll save the profound stuff for right now. And, you know, you got to have album tracks too, right? So you go from right now to wanking it. Sure. Why not?
But guys, can I jump in? Like, you know, Pound Cake is revered, right?
Yeah.
I mean, those lyrics, I mean...
For its lyrics, though, is it revered?
They're not great.
They're not that much better, right? Whoever loves that song.
I love that song for Eddie, but... And Sammy sings the fuck out of it. Yeah. Like, he's killing it on that song.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If the lyrics are stupid, but you sing them really damn well and the music is solid, then it's almost like, who cares? I may shit all over Jump's nonsense lyrics, but I still love Jump. It's Jump. You know, I'm just like, I'm not going to hate on it. Hot for Teacher, as we just mentioned, like, that's a cool ass song. It's one of my favorite Van Halen songs. That song lyrically is stupid as shit, but you know, it's great.
I brought my pencil. Like, it's just him like speaking for half of it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's just like, is a kid. Well, Dave pretending to be a kid lusting over his teacher that we just assume is hot. We don't know.
Did you see the video? They're pretty hot.
Now, I mean, in the video, yes. Yeah. But.
All right. Well, I don't feel tardy. Let's keep going. What do you guys think of the production? I don't enjoy the riff. I don't enjoy the lyrics. I don't even enjoy what Sammy's doing on the harmonies and stuff. But production-wise, this is a really great sounding album. Like, we talked about the muddiness at the beginning with the guitars and stuff, but the separation kind of in the choruses is really well done, I think.
Yeah, this little piece that you just played, you literally just took the words out of my mouth, Corey. That's what I was going to say. It's interesting how there's such a separation for me. The music is so bottom end, deep and heavy down here, and Sammy's lyrics over top of it are like his voice is soaring. They're like they couldn't be further apart, and it just to me meshes so perfect. Never mind the words he's singing, but the tone of his voice and the range that this shows off his range like crazy, and you got that bottom end of the music underneath. It just musically, I think it's a really, really solid, that little middle piece of the song there for sure.
Agree. I think we're not there yet, but I think the breakdown for me exemplifies everything you just said, right?
Mm-hmm.
I like the sparsity of the breakdown where you can hear all their voices and the slinkiness of the guitar, right?
Yeah, man.
See, there are good elements of this song, Mark.
Oh, I know. I'm not shitting all over it yet.
Yet. Well, Josh says it's going beyond up for breakfast, so I wonder how he's going to vote on this one. And Jeff Brewer agrees that Pound Cake has dumb lyrics on top of great music. So.
It happens.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens.
Will Spanked reach that level? Let's find out. Now, good solo, but again, it's buried, isn't it? Like the rhythm is much louder, the drums are louder. Like I got my new professional headphones here tonight, so I'm really listening to it nice and clear. But I always hated how the guitar solo was mixed so low here.
Yeah, I feel like it's eaten up by the cymbals.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah. That being said, though, at least based on what I was hearing, I heard practically every note that Eddie is throwing down. That's a lot of notes, so it's a lot to keep up with, but it came out pretty clear to me. Could it have been louder and mixed a little bit better, cymbals notwithstanding? Sure. But I mean, and maybe it's the fact that you are playing a remastered version, maybe that helps, but it sounded killer to me.
All right, should we keep going? Here we go. Tell you what, I was with the song, they're like, oh, this is really cool, I'm digging this part, and until he yelled 1-900 Spanked, and then I was like, ah, oh, fuck. No, don't do that.
They always say that the previous decade ends a couple of years into the next decade. I feel like this is still like there's some 80s stuff still lingering here, right?
Does anyone know if 1-900 Spanked was an actual number? Like, I know, didn't Sir Mix-a-Lot, when he did 1-900-Mix-a-Lot, wasn't that actual an actual phone number you could call? Was 1-900-Spanked a real thing?
I don't
probably
think that, that actual number necessarily, but if I recall, I think the first version of the liner notes with the album, there was a blackboard in the back of the picture, and there was a phone number that was written on the blackboard that people did start calling.
That's
I don't
right.
think it, I don't think it was a Spanked, but it was actually legible, and it was a number that,
yeah.
that people just called the shit out of for a little while when the album
no, you're
first
right.
came out.
You're right, and they had to re-release yeah. it and take that out, right?
Who That's
was,
right.
Whose phone number was that? Maybe some of the fans know on, online here.
Yeah, that would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know. We need to know.
Jeff Brewer says, I think Ed borrowed from Spinal Tap's Hellhole for the pre-chorus, who you get a call riff. He slowed it way down, though. Hey, if you're going to steal from the best, Spinal Tap, come on, it doesn't get much yeah. better than that. And David St. Hubbins and Nigel Tufnell, come on.
The rockest of the rockers.
That's going to be my next podcast. We're going to break down the Spinal Tap discography. So,
I mean, why not? Just add one more to the list.
Sure. I got no life.
It ain't over till you're done.
I love how he just calls it out. Hey, it's a spank line. Yeah, we got that, fucker.
It is, it is indeed, in fact, a spank line. That little bit at the end, too, you know what it reminds me of? A song off of 5150 that gets no love, and Darren has really been loving it lately. I have always loved it, and that is Inside. It feels a little bit Inside-ish.
Yeah, maybe. You're right, man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of jammy, no real riff.
Exactly. They're just having fun, goofing off, whatever, right?
Like every trick that Eddie knows he's doing in the background, right?
Yeah. And honestly, you know, we've talked through this whole song about the mix of the guitars being a little muddy, a little buried, a little understated, all of those things. And the crazy irony of this is the last, like, 30 seconds of the song as it fades is some of the best guitar work in the entire song, in my view.
And I always hated that. Like, we talk about this on my Aerosmith show. Some of Joey Kramer's best drum fills are in the fade out. It's like, don't put the best stuff in the fade out. Come on.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Like what he's doing there as the song fades could almost just morph right into another song.
Yeah.
And be killer too.
I do agree. There's some of the better guitar work is definitely happening in that sort of in that fade out. And as it's like,
was this album's Fire in the Hole? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, potentially. And what's the next song? Yeah, next song in the sequence is Runaround. So you get a build right into Runaround. That would have been really cool.
Totally.
Well,
can we just give a little guitar props to Eddie here? It's funny as we've been chatting. I just got a little news thing. I'm always hooked into good old Blabbermouth because they've got interesting stories. They just posted a little story on Blabbermouth. You know the Jason Becker guitar that Eddie gave him back in 96? It was going to auction, that whole story lately. So they just posted a news story. The guitar sold for $110,000.
Nice. Awesome. That's great. That's
awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had Eric Senich on the show talking about all that. And
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Eric did a nice little piece. And I think there's been some more interview or footage released from that day when Eddie visited Jason Becker. So
yeah, it's really touching footage. Yeah. It's
if you don't cry watching that, then you're not human.
Yeah. It's kind of a tough watch because you see just how much Eddie cared. And really great stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, $110,000, which is awesome because I'm pretty sure that money is going back to help Jason, right?
Yes. Yeah.
I was awesome. About to say, yeah, that's it, yeah, okay, cool, cool. That's awesome. Hey, that's a lot of money for such a legacy. You could say that it's priceless, but hey, you know, whatever helps. That's good stuff. So, speaking of good stuff, possibly that was Spanked from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge, an album that is near and dear to Corey and myself's heart.
That's right.
You know, maybe not so much the song, but I'm just going to go over here and get to the real important part of the show. And that's when we vote Bogus Otis Boys. Darren, Brent, we got you a Sammy track to talk about. Here we go. That's what you're here for. It's all about the Sammy. Was it in particular the song that you wanted to talk about? Well, I ask you this, Darren. Do you think Spanked is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over for you?
Ooh. Explain yourself, sir.
Dream is over. So I put it in the chat there. I was trying to be dramatic.
Oh, sorry. I didn't see it in the chat. Usually we just do the thumb thing. But so what was it about this song that didn't do it for you?
Well, look, Brent and I, we're from the Bogus Over Show. So, we're fans, but we're not fanboys, right? So we're still allowed to be critical now and then. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this song for me, coming off of Judgment Day, and then going to this one, and then Run Around Next, I feel like it's just that song that's, I think you said it, Corey, there's just not really kind of a riff there. I like my Van Halen with bigger riffs, right? Or more Eddie. So there's just not enough Eddie sauce. That's my recap.
Not enough Eddie. And there you go. That is a fair assessment. If there's not enough Eddie, then, how can you possibly upvote it? Because, you know, without Eddie, what have you got? Am I right?
And you know what? I feel like that collection two is also doesn't do this song specifically justice in terms of Eddie, in my opinion.
Mm. All right. Fair enough. Brent, let's see if you felt the same way. Would you say Spanked for you is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
We're making history right here tonight because it's Sammy, and God damn it, I love you, Sammy, but I'm a thumbs down on this one. Oh.
Are we fired from our own show?
This is unprecedented. I can't believe this.
Explain yourself then, Brent.
I would say for me, you know, much to Darren's point about there not being enough Eddie, for me, I think just overall, the mix of this song is too muddy. I love the dirty grunginess of much of this entire album. And there are several songs on this album that are head and shoulders better than this one. So, you know, while it's listenable and I enjoy it every once in a while, and I do love Sammy's soaring voice in it, there's not enough to tip it over for me.
Just not enough. Well, the moment has approached, and I will... for those of you watching, I'm dealing with these dumb cats. They're acting a menace back there. But I put it to you, my podcasting partner, Corey. This is a song that you just you've been very vocal about not being excited to talk about it. You've had your say. I feel like you've been holding back quite a lot in our analysis as we've been going through the song. So the moment of truth, sir. This time, having re-listened to Spanked in its entirety, and how do you feel about it? Is it, in fact, what dreams are made of for you, or are you like the Bogus Otis Boys, and the dream is just dead?
Fuck!
I'm not a fan. I've never been a fan of Spanked. It's probably my least favorite Van Halen tune maybe of all time. Still listenable, I'm not gonna fuck this song or anything. I know I talk listening to it with fresh ears, there's good stuff here. I love the bottom end. I love the bass. I love what Alex is doing. Like the drums on this are killer. The mix isn't my favorite. I agree totally with Darren that the original version of this song sounded better than the remastered, which is rare because usually, like, OU812, I think they just did, is miles ahead of where it was. And 5150 is miles ahead from where it was, listening to the new vinyl reissues. This song, not so much, or this album, again, was really good to begin with. But this is one song where things just, you know, it doesn't do it any justice. The good things don't outweigh the bad things. You know, the lyrics are stupid, but a lot of songs, the lyrics are stupid. I'm not going to rag on Sammy too hard for the lyrics. He's writing about a fucking jerk off line. Like, you can't be fucking, you know, a poet, you know, talking about whacking it to a phone call, which kids today can't even really relate to because you got porn right at your fingertips. You type in whatever you want into the Google machine and you see all sorts of shit you shouldn't be seeing. You know, back in my day, you had to jerk off on the phone. And like that just sounds absurd today in 2023. But there's analog just
masturbation back in our time.
That's right. We had to work to get off.
Jerk booths.
Jerk booths. But I tell you, like, it just, you know, Sammy just yelling, it's a spank line. It's just so fucking dumb that I can't forgive it for that. So, and I don't like the riff. So there is good elements of this song. Certainly not enough for me to upvote this one. So that's 3 downvotes on this one. So it comes to you, Mark Kamar. You've never really tipped your hand on this one. I know you love this record, but whenever, you know, I'm making fun of Spanked, you're usually kind of quiet. Like, I'll save it for the show, You've been pretty quiet here tonight, too. So now is the time to vote. Are you going to make it a clean sweep, 4 down votes for Spanked, or are you going to be the lone wolf and vote this What Dreams Are Made Of?
Only because chaos reigns. No, I mean, you know, we'll just add one more to the list of people. You know, everyone's like mad at me anyway, and like, oh, for fuck's sakes, Mark. No, look, here's the scoop, and I'm gonna tell you. The lyrics are dumb. Yes. That's not an uncommon thing with a lot of Van Halen songs that we hold dear. Lyrics are pretty damn dumb, and I'm talking about through every single era. Every single one. No one is beyond it. Not Gary, certainly not Dave, and certainly not Sammy. It happens. However, as we've mentioned, sometimes if the song itself, musically or whatever, can come across and overcome the dumbness of maybe the lyrical content, we can give it a pass. Sometimes we cannot. Sometimes the lyrics are so damn bad that it's just like, well, this song's ruined. I can't listen to it anymore. It's fine. For me, I liked the dirty riff. I liked the that sort of kind of funky nature to what Eddie's playing. My gripe is I wish he was turned up way, way more. But, you know, that's just a small thing. I can still hear him and I can still hear what he's doing. Does he get more intricate and does the guitar lines get way better at the, you know, at the end of the song? You bet. But I don't know. Sometimes we have heard it with Van Halen songs before. Sometimes when they're on their way out, they're leaving you with something extra special. You know, it's almost like, take care, come back now. Y'all hear? You know, it's just like don't forget about it. It's like, listen to these tasty riffs right here. You want a taste of that some more, don't you? Well, make sure you come back. Make sure you listen to the rest of the album, or you listen to the next one. Oh, the next one. And I don't know. I kind of got those vibes. That solo is killer. Just anything good that we can think of and talk about with the way Eddie structures his solos, especially when it fits the vibe of the song. And I felt like this one fit the vibe of the song. Then the solos just are spectacular. Sometimes solos can save songs. And there was maybe a moment where I was feeling, I don't know if, I think I'm going to side with Corey on this one because I don't know if I'm really like vibing on it. But I don't know, man, that solo came in. And I really like that dirty riff going through this. And this is certainly low end heavy. I'm never mad about that whatsoever. And despite the dumb lyrics, they're consistent. And Sammy, as we've mentioned, is singing the hell out of them. And sometimes sometimes if you're just if the song is not perfect in every single way, but you're still vibing to it, then that's all that matters. And if I'm being completely honest, the whole time I was vibing. I was vibing to it. I was recognizing how dumb the lyrics were. And I don't know, the dumber they were, the more we went on and the more I was reading along, I was just kind of like, these are stupid, but I'm laughing. It's funny. And like, and I get what he's going for here, and I'm not mad at it. So by that logic, so I'm not just being a dick here, just a contrarian for the sake of being a contrarian. I know I have that reputation sometimes. No, this was just my honest thoughts. I was vibing. I dug it. And for that reason, it's for me, it's what dreams are made of.
That's great.
That's not
glad you dug it.
Yeah. And that's, let me tell you something though. As often as we were talking about earlier, I could feel a completely different way next week. I could go back and listen to the song and go like, what the fuck was I thinking? This is so dumb. Like, well, why did I upvote?
You're not alone. Scott Monroe says this song is a guilty pleasure of me. And I say, don't be guilty. If you like it, that nothing wrong with that at all.
You like it.
Yeah. We're getting some requests in the chat to hear a little bit of the live version. You want to hear a little live right now?
Let's do that.
Check that out. Okay.
Yes.
Hey.
I do prefer this version much more than the album version.
For sure. Oh man, that riff is that's got that's stank face worthy, that riff, man. Like, oh, I can't believe you didn't like it. Man, that's just
it sounds
stank.
The whole thing sounds so good. And that's why I said right off the top, for me, the memory of this song is actually in the live right here, right now. If we were doing a vote on the live version, then my vote would be different, 100% for sure.
You know, mine might be too, to be honest with you. I've never shied away from loving some stank.
And put some stank on it!
I was just going to say before you played that, like, would we all actually feel different if the recorded version was a little faster? I feel like it feels like it'd be a little faster. I feel like the live version is just that much faster, just where I get into it more tempo. Rocking, right?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Darren. I think you're right. It definitely seems a bit more up tempo for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I want to say something just before I forget. Sure. When Mark was doing his assessment of the song and we got the big thumbs up from him, there was a really interesting nugget for me that I took out of everything that you said. And that was this whole notion of y'all come back again and, you know, kind of leaving you wanting more and all of that. Mm-hmm. I think that actually is a super insightful thing. And I'm giving you major props for that, because I think Van Halen across the board is actually, throughout their careers, were masters of doing exactly what you just said, with so many endings of songs, the leave you wanting more, coming back or whatever. And I never heard anybody verbalize it in the way that you just did. And I think you're 100% dead on. Absolutely.
And the only reason that I came up with that assessment is, as you say, we've heard it before. Like, we've heard Van Halen do that, like in a lot of their songs. They love the fade out. You know, we'll get like the arena rock sort of like ending where everything, you know, stops at once, but they like the fade out. And a lot of times in the fade out it's sort of an opportunity for Ed and sometimes Al to just kind of go off and, you know, do their thing. And I really truly believe that it has something to do with, hey, don't fret. We're still, you know, you may not have been digging like this particularly, but don't forget who we are. You know, it's like, remember what we're capable of. And we've got riffs for days, and we'll never, you know, it'll always keep going. That's just how I always see it. It's like, we'll give you this little intro. It's going to fade out because you're like, oh, wait, what are you doing? Wait, what? I want to hear more of that. Like, you want to hear more? Then stick around. Come back next time. Like, we got more for you.
Yeah.
It's
great. Cool, you're right, man. That is a great thought. And three words come to mind. drop dead legs.
Yeah.
You know? So it's just, yeah, that's always been
like, more.
Yeah. I tell you what, Mark, a week ago, I might have disagreed with you. I'm like, don't put the best stuff in the outro. Fuck, I hate that. Because I don't like it when Joey does that in Aerosmith. But the other night, I was driving back from the gym and I was listening to AC/DC, the Who Made Who album, and the instrumental DT. And in the fade out, they bring in the like big, like the whole band comes in. Like it's usually, they're just playing the riff slowly during the outro. And then about halfway through the outro, bang, the whole thing kicks in again. And like, well, that's actually kind of cool. And this is actually kind of cool how they're doing it here too. So I find myself agreeing with you. Yeah. I've kind of turned around on that.
Ah, so yeah, awesome. just something to think about, you know, and there's a chance I'm way off and it's just, I'm just stretching for something. But like I said, that's been my perception when they do things like that. And that's for this song in particular, that's what it sounded like. So, you know, I hope I'm right about it, or if I'm not, then I'm just going to keep thinking I'm right, because in my head canon, I like that idea. So there you have it with Spanked, three no's and one yes. And I'm sure the chat is just absolutely like, boo, fire him.
Actually, the chat's really quiet. Jeff mentioned he knows that they didn't play it much because they thought the double neck was too heavy. And he had sound issues. Yeah. There was something with between the double neck that, you know, they didn't play it a ton.
We already had a bass player.
Yes, that's right.
Let him do his thing. Right, Ed? Thank you, Ed.
Yeah, let Mike be Mike.
Yeah. Which is why that live version sounds awesome, because you hear Mike.
That's right. And Josh points out some of Ed's fills on the intro sound like Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Ooh, never mad about that. Yeah, a little SRV. Darren and Brent from the Bogus Otis Show, you guys, you came back. We had you on. We spun a Sammy tune, and you know, it again, maybe didn't go the way you were hoping to as far as the spin goes, but a Sammy tune nonetheless from a great Sammy album. And you know, I had a fun conversation despite all of it, and so I hope you guys did too. Please let the people know what you guys got going on, where they can find you, everything.
Go for it, Brent.
You can catch us on Instagram at The Bogus Otis Show and on Facebook at The Bogus Otis Show. And check out our latest episode, Season 3, Episode 9, with the Red Rocker Sammy Hagar in Detroit Rock City.
Woo!
Fantastic.
Yeah. I'm excited to listen to that. That's going to be so fun. I was excited when I saw the pictures. So
yes.
I was like, okay, that's going to be something wondrous to behold with my ears. So, very big congrats with that, and a lucky shot. You said he just kind of crashed the party, and like that's amazing. That's of all people to crash and have a conversation with, there's your guy. You're the number one guy. Amazing stuff. And as always a pleasure having you guys. Thank you so much. To all the rest of you, to our lurkers, thank you so much for your input. I know I pissed you off today, but you know, look, it is what it is. I'm not going to win your good graces every week, and that's okay, because I know I'll win you back at some point. At some point, I'll win you back. And if I don't, in the next, 19 or so shows we have left, you know, plus some live ones, then we'll discuss it. We'll discuss it. Nevertheless, thank you so much. And hey, you out there, if you weren't involved, if you weren't in the lurker chat, you can. And all you got to do is go over to our Patreon. Join, find a tier that's right for you. I'm sure we've got something. And if we don't, if you think you would like a different kind of perk or some more perks or something, let us know. We'll find a tier that will work for you. We're not above it. We're so close it's sad to say, but we're very, very close to the end of this particular chapter. So
20 songs.
It's up to you guys. Yeah. It's up to you guys if you know, you want to hear us keep go on, just like to keep it up and to go forth and let us know what you want us to do after that, because there's a lot of chatter about, should we do solo wheels for Dave solo and for Sammy solo, for Gary stuff with Extreme, for Wolfie and Mammoth, you know, all sorts of stuff. Or is there a wheel full of different artists that you would like us to cover? Let us know, man. Join the Patreon. Get on there. Let us know what we can do for you. Keep us alive. Keep the lights on. Just like the people that I'm about to name off who are helping us keep the lights on, our wonderful patrons, Matt Lacoste, Nate from the Deep Purple Podcast, Rava Flave, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Pearl Lenniker, Scott Monroe, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Tom Armbruster, Scott Everett, Heath McCoy, Janice Risco, Brad Gould, Michael Triplett, Davey Lee Smith, and of course, in honor of our friend, and you know, this show is dedicated to him, Ryan Powell. Man, I just again, our hearts are with you, Ryan, and you know, I hope the dark cloud ceases very, very soon. It probably won't for quite some time, but we're here for you. Just know that we're here for you. The entire community of And the Podcast Will Rock stands with you. So hearts go out to you. You guys, as I mentioned at the top of the show, the holiday seasons are upon us. And guess what that means? That means you got to get your loved ones some nice presents. You know what a great present would be? An Apologies to Gary t-shirt. And we have that at the merch store. You should go over to www.podcastlerock.com. You can find all of our backlog episodes, you know, in case you miss it and you didn't catch it on your streaming services. No problem. Go to our website and check that out. And also the link to our merch store is there. Wonderfully hilarious and awesome designs, courtesy of our friend Kevin Brown. He's always got something great to show us. Go on over there, find your Apologies to Gary shirt and wear that and make my dream come true with a legion of you guys wearing the shirt, just so Gary will have a confused look on his face. It turns out he's seen it a picture on Twitter, and he thought maybe that was entertaining enough, but one's just not going to cut it. I need to have an army of you out there. That is my Christmas wish, if I had one. That is what I want. But and if that one doesn't suit your fancy, no problem. We have great designs, as I mentioned, at the merch store. Get your design. Get a hoodie. You can turn that t-shirt into a hoodie, you know, whatever. Man, it's like, it's all good. And it will help us out, and it will be great for giving presents to your loved ones. Spread the word of the show and the word of Van Halen. It's what we're all about. Now, Corey, can you please tell them about some other shows they might catch on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network?
Well, I can, but first in the chat, I want to point out that, first of all, Scott Monroe said he got your back. So you got one ally in the chat. And then to piggyback off that, Tom Rumbruster says he's going to post a defense of the Jump lyrics in the manifesto section on the Discord. So okay. More on that next week. We'll get Tom's thoughts on Jump. All but right. Yes,
dissertation on that shit.
That's right, the dissertation. But let's talk about the Deep Dive Podcast Network, shall we? And all the great shows that you can get on that network, including Backtracks Aerosmith Revisited, where myself and Scott Haskin are breaking down the Aerosmith catalog, creating the ultimate Aerosmith mixtape. Then we have the Ultimate Catalog Clash, myself and Kevin Brown. Season one was Phil Collins' era Genesis. I can let you know now, season two, I won season one. I got to pick the band and the era for season two. We're doing 90s Metallica. So that's the Black Album, Load and Reload, which Kevin doesn't really know a ton about. So that's going to be, it's going to be a lot of fun. Check out season two of the Ultimate Catalog Clash. And then, of course, Kevin Brown does the Tom Petty Project. Kevin and Randy Woods also do a show called Seaside Pod Review, talking all things Queen. Scott Haskin has the Uriah Heep Show, the Magician's Podcast. That's finished for now until they release new music. But you can go back and check out old episodes. Then we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skynyrd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts. I hear he's dropping on the other side, so it's just T-Bone's Prime Cuts now. Then we have Riot's Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul Joan David at In the Lap of the Pods. I believe they just dropped their last episode, so go check that out and show the boys some love. They've been on the air for quite a while talking about Queen. Just wrapping it up here right before Christmas. A great episode. I recommend everybody check out that show. Then we have Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z, Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madman, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast, Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast, Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. That's American music versus Canadian music. Go check that one out. Canada wins by a mile, I would say. I'm sure two of my guests would agree on the panel here. Then we have Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What? Quinn at End Volume for All, Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Chaz and Greg did Regarding Lulu for some reason. You can check out that show if you hate your ears, because that's talking about the Lulu record, Metallica and Lou Reed. Then we have Chaz and Chats doing Rush Rash. I was on that show, Mark. I think you're going to be on that show. Spinning a wheel, talking a little Rush. That's going to be a lot of fun. And then Chaz and Wolfie do a show called Regarding Roger, about Roger Moore, the best James Bond. No, it's Roger Waters doing his inexplicable Dark Side of the Moon reissue. And then, of course, we have our other friends. We already talked about our good friends at the Boca Soda Show. There's the DLR cast. You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast. The Sean Geek and Fast Fred podcast. Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich. Dissect That Film. Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast. And Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting, celebrating 10 years on the air. If you listen to next week's, maybe they'll play a little something I recorded for them for their 10th anniversary. I'm hoping anyway, on behalf of Mark and myself, go check out Pod of Thunder, still the best rock and roll podcast on the internet, not counting the Boca Soda Show. They're still number one.
Exactly. Well said all around. Thank you, Corey, for that. And if you guys want to take a break from busting my balls, Corey just called Roger Moore the best James Bond, so have at it, everybody. So just to, you know, give me
he's up there. He's up there. I liked all the James Bonds, to be fair. Yeah,
that is a generational thing, and I think you just definitely showed your age on that one, but it's fine. We can discuss that later. At the next podcast that Corey's going to start up, the James Bond ranking podcast. It'll be a thing.
Yep. Fuck you, Tim Dalton.
Apologies to Dalton.
I'm kidding. I like Tim Dalton. I thought he was a good James Bond.
I did too. But again, that's a conversation for another day. Hey, if you guys want Corey and myself to keep the conversation of James Bonds going, we can probably make a Patreon thing about that. I'll talk about some James Bond.
Exclusive podcast? Sure, why not? Let's do it.
Yeah, right on. So, all right. So on behalf of Corey and myself, Darren and Brent from the Bogus Oda Show, seriously, tune into that. It is so much fun and great stuff along the way. I cannot wait to listen to that new episode. So good. On behalf of all these guys, we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later. Happy holidays.